Welcome to the conference podcast of the 2019 European Cities Conference held in Vienna on 18th and 19th of June. In the following minutes, I will summarize the content and the outcome of the lectures and panel discussions. Please feel free to share this with your colleagues or use it for yourself to refresh your thoughts with the help of the conference outcome. My name is Martin Giesven. I was the host and moderator of the conference on behalf of Eurocom. As a disclaimer, the following content are not the direct quotes of the speakers, but our interpretation. I hope you enjoy the podcast and the presentation shared by the speakers. When I mention links or names, you will find them in the show notes. What was the conference all about? It was about digitalization. It was about how European city administrations look in 2030. In this discussion, we looked into the future of the cities and we discussed the essential aspects, especially under the name of artificial intelligence and the subchapter of e-government, both artificial intelligence and e-government as subchapters of digitalization. The conference was opened by Jörg Neumeier, who is the member of the Vienna State Parliament and Municipal Council, and he is responsible for digitalization, media, and education. As a politician, he backed absolutely strongly the whole conference by sharing his view about the importance of a human approach of digitalization. He said, we can have a lot of awards as City of Vienna, we can have a lot of apps, but always the human being has to be in the center of everything that we do. Without the citizens, there will be no success of technology. He pointed out most important points like collaboration and communication, especially project-oriented collaboration, and he pointed out that the humanistic view of the world shall be the basis for what we are doing in e-government, artificial intelligence, and digitalization. He used and rephrased the quote and ended with the words, "The values are not everything, but everything is nothing without the values." After this political backing, we received a philosophical backing by Julian Niederrümelin, who is regarded as one of the most renowned philosophers in Germany. He was Minister of State and Media from 1998 to 2002 in Germany, and he teaches philosophy and political theory at the Ludwig Maximilian University in Munich. He addressed us with the keynote with the name Digital Humanism, Advocating Ethics in the Age of Artificial Intelligence. Julian went back very, very far to look at the first ideas of roboters from Archimedes. And he laid it out clearly to us why we are so easily euphoric about technology disruption. And on the other side, why there are so many dystopias, like from Hawkins, or in our belief in the 90s that the techniques in the field of genes are very dangerous. He pointed out that our fears and hopes both are overestimated and we have to find the right way. And he was, through his keynote, strongly advocating a European way of digitalization with a clear humanistic approach. He pointed out again that we shall not put too much soul into the machine, like, for example, it is done in Japan, where a lot of care for elderly people are done by robots that are caring for those persons in their homes, and they look more and more like humans. And Julian made it very clear when he said, "Please don't give eyes to the roboters. They shall not be to human. They shall not be a homo deus. They shall be a machine, and it should be clear for us." When he went to the basics of a European way of digitalization, he pointed out that it's also about liability. And when we look into the legal tradition of Europe, then there was always a natural person, also in economic, at the end liable. Even if we have a legal entity, then we have at the end of the chain of liability a human person that has to take the liability for the things that happened in the legal entity and with the machines and automatism that this legal entity was using. Julian opposed strongly against early plan thinking of the European Commission about having something like an e-person installed in our legal system. This is culturally not acceptable, he said. We shall not have the possibility to put the liability to a non-human person, because if we would do so, we would generate this homo deus and acting totally on behalf of the machine. Another example of how far we went is where Julian said it's absolutely impossible, he would say, to step out of social media as a person or as an organization completely. It's unacceptable. This total digital detox is not possible because social media became a part of our cultural exchange. Nevertheless, we have to look at things that happen based on this usage of technology, where, for example, in Congo, we find 80,000 children in the battery production, or with the current development in China with the citizens' core. Again and again, there were examples where the need for the European idea was strongly promoted by Julian. And the problem, he said, is that there is a conflict in Europe over decades between neoliberal approach and Marxistic approach, but it has to be a definition of the technological progress, and it has to always have a human benefit, an increase of values to make the humans become more and more able to live their lives after their own will, based on their own will. And yet, mankind has already voted against certain technologies, like certain forms of atomic fusion generation of energy, against hybrid beings in the field of gene manipulation, certain boundaries in the possibilities of pharmacology. So mankind was able to vote against certain advantages or certain developments in the technology area. Another point why we need a European way of digitalization is that looking at the productiveness of the current strong platform industry driven by US and Asian companies, Nida Rümelin cannot see a massive better product development or an increase of economic value. He says that platform economy only means a certain shift of value from one party to the other. And therefore, we in the European Union have to be strongly opposed to any means of delivering our data for free to those platform industries. Overall, he said, let's take over the control again like mankind did it in the past. Let's have this third way, the European way beside the Chinese and the Silicon Valley way of digitalization. and make it ecological meaningful, but with the human being in the center of everything we do. The next speaker after Julian Niederrimmelin was Michael Stampfer, the manager of the Vienna Science and Technology Fund. And there was a lot of interesting points in that, especially a manifesto. Coming to that in a second. Michael took over the philosophical basis of Julian and said, what is the answer? The answer to the right form of digitalization obviously is the digital humanism. And digital humanism meaning digital humanism seeks to reintroduce human values to the core of our concerns. The question is, what is a good life and how might technology help us to realize it? And digital humanism emphasizes that it is not primarily the impacts of technology on society that should matter, but their very design. And having this as a basis definition, then the question is, what would offer such a narrative based on digital humanism to the city, to a city, or to the city of Vienna? And he says, this narrative provides a unique selling proposition to a city under the label of a digital city. It is the basis for attracting thinkers and researchers. It is a future investment because companies that value humanistic values and privacy shall be attracted by a city that is focusing on digital humanism in their way. And to make it more clear, Michael told us that in the last months, there was the development of the Vienna Manifesto on Digital Humanism. And I read a little bit about this manifesto. There have been discussions triggered by the actors in Vienna that led to an international workshop at the Technical University in Vienna on digital humanism in April 2019. Local and international participants from the information and communication technology community and also from the socio-economic science and humanitarian area impressively demonstrated the unease about the current developments both in the computer science and in the society with regards to digitalization. The outcome of these meetings and workshop, an international manifesto that is strongly endorsed by the computer science societies and will be published and communicated widely. You will also find a link in the show notes where you can look into the details of the Vienna Manifesto. I'm reading to the first principles now, starting with the principle that digital technologies should be designed to promote democracy and inclusion. Privacy and freedom of speech are essential values for democracy and should be at the center of our activities. And thirdly, effective regulations, rules and laws based on a broad public discourse must be established. Regulations need to intervene with monopolies. And further it goes, and I really would appreciate if you take a look at the manifesto, give your feedback, and also use some of the parts in your development when it comes to city strategies for digitalization. As you can see, the conference went more and more into details, and the detail that followed and was so enlightening for us was the study from Katja Meyer from the University of Vienna, who conducted a study on behalf and sponsored by the MR23 as part of the Vienna City Administration, a magistrate department that combines economic, labor market and innovation policy and is led by Clemens Himperle, who was also part of the discussion. And Katja Meyer used the theory of communities of practice. Communities of practice in the definition of expert groups working on specific topics that are essential to drive the human-centric way of digitalization. Katja Meyer looked into the communities, especially in the fields of privacy and security, labor, and then also in the very strong and important topic of e-health. There was a clear call from Katja why Vienna should foster and support its communities of practice. We constantly have to learn and translate in a digitalized world. Practice of and communities is the best grain size at which to describe knowledge in action. Communities of practice are the right frame for planning, co-creation and engagement. City planning and social governance rely on community support. And finally, city and communities need to experiment to find the right formats for exchange. And Katja Meyer pointed out that there shall be necessary steps following up to the study. And the study concludes with two concrete measures, calling for a research funding program, Digital Humanism, and a curated funding program. Both initiatives, I would say, at starting position, and a pilot of the new funding format already running at the Magistrat Department MA7. The next international speaker was Philipp Hustava from Department of Information Technologies of the City of Bratislava. And Philipp is in charge of the new open data strategy of Bratislava. He told us that with a new mayor at the end of 2018, Matuš Švalo, a lot of the new initiatives are now starting. And he's currently focusing in his work in Bratislava very much on artificial intelligence, considering deployment in sustainability and land mapping projects, pilot projects like traffic camera measuring. Next one is blockchain technology as a focus area. There is the project about an app for regional integrated transport. There is a reviving of the Bratislava City Card and preparing city apps, communication and participation. Adopting best practices from other cities is what he was hoping from the conference, and I think he got it, and we were very enlightened by the approaches Bratislava is taking on the way to the future, to a meaningful digitalization with the newest technology for the benefit of the citizens. The program of the conferences then went on with a deep dive into artificial intelligence, led by a keynote by the expert Clemens Wasner. He's a former international consultant, a lot of his time spent in Asia, and now he's the CEO of Enlight AI, a Vienna-based company specializing in the application of AI. Clemens was pointing out that Asia and Asian governments reacted better on the possibilities and threats of the international artificial intelligence trend. He pointed out that Singapore, for example, is putting his absolute focus and thinking about the existence of the city onto the technology of AI. And then Clemens went on to give us use cases for AI, and starting, of course, with healthcare and diagnosis. And there he sees a potential for saving of administration costs, which might be very interesting for cities running hospitals and medical centers. The second point that he wanted to focus on as a use case, of course, is AI in education. There's a very strong movement in the US with service providers like Udacy and Coursera. Of course, also in China, where he brought the example of technology that is able to detect the attention and motivation of pupils, giving a grading support for teachers. And he also mentioned Squirrel, a unicorn that is adaptive learning system that is currently, based on statistics, also outperforming human teachers. The human teacher is not redundant. He or she is then enabled to be in the role of the coach and not of a mere transporter of knowledge. Links of those example and use cases are in your show notes. He went on looking at the field of mobility and transportation in conjunction with AI. And there he introduced us to an Alibaba-based service, which is called ET City Brain, that is very strongly engaged on citywide AI initiatives, steering and managing transportation and mobility. Clemens also pointed out that Canada, especially Montreal, sees itself as an AI hub and is very attractive to the international science community and, of course, to the businesses. He's working with a lot of collaborators on a strategic view of AI also for Austria and for Vienna. And it's currently a project running. Results are expected mid of 2019, where in this strategy, Clemens and his collaborators want to focus on four fields. Firstly, strategic target picture. Secondly, use case identification. Thirdly, rollout. And fourth, communication and participation. Clemens is asking the participants of the European City Conference, use your local communities if you want to engage more and more into AI. Be ambitious, but also realistic on the same side. He also made a side hint by saying probably big consultancies are not the right collaborators for the AI strategy based on their own experiences. And thirdly, he said, start now. So there was a strong keynote from Clemens opening us the eyes in forms of examples, but also clear possibilities how to engage as a city into AI. After that keynote, of course, the question arose, how far are we already? For example, in Vienna, for example, with the boundaries that we also put to AI. And there we had a wonderful panelist group with Barbara Wimmer. She is a network journalist, author, and lecturer living in Vienna, with Sindre Wimberger, one of the bot fathers of the city of Vienna bot, the Wien bot, and then from the Wiener Stadtwerke, Dietmar Schabus, accompanied by Matthias Grissenberger, who is working at the project Wien gibt Raum. The project Wien gibt Raum by Matthias is the attempt to have a very detailed real-life digitalization of the city, having a digitalization of the public space so that all of the permissions, applications for events, for new businesses have a strong connection to the real world out there, and the services of a digital city administration in the future can be more and more effective. Dietmar from the Vienna Stadtwerke brought also three very strong examples of how technology is used currently in the city. The first one was very much about robotic process automation, meaning that helping the administrators and the employees of the city to categorize emails, having an automated categorization of emails to ease their work processes. The second example was a rail shock recording, meaning that at the public transport of Wiener Linien, there is a project where you can do predictive maintenance by measuring the quality of the rails by smartphones that are in the pocket of the persons being transported by Wiener Linien. And the third project is Smart Inspection. It's an infrastructure inspection using cameras mounted on drones. So we got real-life examples of how the city of Vienna is already working. Sindre Wimberger added to it that there is the WienBot currently in high usage, and there is a trend of this chatbot providing answers to everybody about the city of Vienna. There's a trend going very much in the direction of speak, not type. And the basis of this project, of this product, of this service of the city of Vienna, obviously, is also having a local alternative that can be locally steered versus the international providers of chatbots, of course, from the large international companies. Barbara Wimmer was the one that was holding against the possibilities of technology, and she said AI also need boundaries. She was talking about algorithmic rules or algo rules. She was talking about algorithmic bills of rights, so that we can ensure that our moral standards are influencing the possibilities of the technology. So a very strong mixed panel there. The next panel was all from the startup world. The startup world working together with governments and cities, administrations, to guarantee a very good and beneficial AI implementation. We had Alexandra Ebert from the startup Mostly AI. Her team is concentrating on synthetic data, meaning data that cannot be drawn back to the individual personal data that was the ground for it. Synthetic data is a possibility for cities to using AI with a very strong focus on data protection. Interestingly, she received 1 million of venture capital and the same sum in grants, which is a very interesting point where Austria, for example, and Europe overall still has a very strong grant scenery for startups, while in the US, for example, there's this dominance of financing via venture capital firms. On a panel from the company Pioneers was Max Kintisch. Pioneers is a well-known company when it comes to interaction with startups, and that is also possible not only corporates and startups, but also governments and city administration. And he is running a lot of GovTech challenges, meaning that startups that have solutions for the government area can present their solutions and then have the possibility to work together with the administration for real-life examples of how this startup solution can be used for the citizens. We also had Andreas Rath, the CEO of Rendezvous company, a startup that is concentrating on AI-based interaction with the customers, or in that case with the citizens. Especially this company has a track record of delivering chatbot systems so that the citizens can interact also automatically or semi-automatically with the government administration and citizens. The day was ended by a very strong lecture by Walter Palmetshofer. Walter is now part of the Urban Innovation Vienna Agency, one of the core elements of the smart city development for Vienna. And he is an international expert on data, especially on open data. And he gave us a very good insight into how delicate the situation is when it comes to citizen data. The trust is needed on handling the data, and I think that the city has a very strong role in that. And he, as other lecturers as well, was focusing very strongly on the point that you have to know the data that is generated and used beyond your physical infrastructure. So when we think into history and say that the city knows everything that is going on in the city based on the physical infrastructure, like for example the railways or the gas lines in underneath the surface, then he says now we are on a situation where, for example, Uber or e-scooter providers are using the physical infrastructure of the city, and they shall be incentivized to share their gathered data about, for example, mobility patterns with the city. That would be the normal state of enriching the existing open data sets that the city is providing and is giving to the developers for apps, for example. So there shall be a new symbiotic cooperation between those new providers like Uber or e-scooter drivers and the city, and a benefit for the whole society. On the beginning of the second day, which was very much focused on e-government, we had the keynote lecture from Ulrike Hoemer. Ulrike is the Chief Information Officer of the City of Vienna and is working on implementing new solutions since 2014. She told us why, for example, Roland Berger's Smart City Ranking showed that Vienna is absolutely on the top of the development. There are more or less two reasons. The first reason is that there is a central entity, an agency called Urban Innovation Vienna, agency that is controlling, steering, coordinating, fostering the developments in smart and digital city. And the second argument for Roland Berger to rank Vienna on top of the list was that there is an overall strategy for the digitalization of Vienna. And this is the Digitale Agenda or Digital Agenda that was set into the world with a high rate of participation by the citizens. So the citizens and the government of the city is giving themselves a steering paper where all of the interests of the parties in terms of digitalization are unified. Very interestingly, the principles are not technology driven, but are driven into a very broad way, and I will quote some of them, and you can find the full list in the documentation that Ulrike is sharing with us. The first principles are trust and security, transparency, openness, and participation, the inclusion and the drive towards solidarity in all of the developments, gender equality, citizen orientation, but also strengthening the business location Vienna, consolidation, bringing diverse projects and community of experts together, innovation, flexibility, and very importantly, learning from what we are doing. Very importantly, this digital agenda is not feeling like an official act. It's more like a memorandum of understanding, like a governing rule that was self-given, so that we can all live towards a more smart city based on the digital development. Please take a look at the slides that Ulrike was sharing with us to have a complete overview of all the projects and applications that have been launched recently in connection with Digital City and Smart City. The main keynote of the day was by Peter Paricek. He is head of the Competence Center Public IT at Fraunhofer Focus Berlin, and he's a full professor for e-government and the head of the Department for e-governance and administration at the Danube University in Krems. Peter was giving us a very strong insight into the new forms of how laws shall be done and executed. For that, he went back a little bit into history and told us about Emperor Maria Theresia. She was the first one to say, how can I organize a state? I have to break it down into lower levels of administration to make it reignable. Maria Theresia was introducing the Landkreis or circle, which is a geographic area where you can go through or ride through with a horse in one day. So that was the subset of administratable organization. When it comes to our modern life, we again have to ask ourselves, how can we administer a city or a country? And there Peter was the advocate for going away from the belief that our data are on paper or as a stamp or as a template. It is the mere digital data set that is the basis of the administration. Secondly, he was referring to if those data are trustable, stored and available for the individual, for the citizen, it can be used for the public contracts, like getting a new driving license, for example, but also at the same time for private contracts, like for having a contract for a car and being legitimate to drive a certain car with private institutions or liability cases with insurances. So this data sovereignty and this centralized data sets are the core for a modern e-government. Secondly, he was turning very strongly to how laws have been made in the past and how they shall be in the future. And when it's in the past, then you see pictures in his slides of one distinguished lawyer sitting in a ministry with a pile of papers writing the text of a law. In nowadays, we need to have interdisciplinary teams designing automatable laws. What does that mean? That means a set of different experts. A team has to build this law. They come from legal side, they come from technical side, they come from execution side, they come from different sides to have a very diverse team, and they shall do a law that is then automatically executable. Already in this legislation, we have to think about, can it be automatically executed, for example, in a citizen portal? That is new to the current lawmakers, but extremely important to our e-government. Denmark was giving as a state where these principles for digital laws are already in place, and those four main principles are simple and clear rules, automated case processing, consistency across authorities, so for example local, federal, and on the fourth point, standardized legal terms, data formats and interfaces, so that you really can hand over in a workflow all the data from the citizens between all of the entities. Peter was making clear that he doesn't think that data is the new oil. He said that data is the basis for new business and use models. So that is a very clear understanding that we have to understand our data better, and we have to improve on the current level in Europe, where only 85% of the available data is known and used. So there is a long way still to go to make the e-government into a state that is modern and prepared for the digital world. As the conference commenced, we had a very strong input from Zoltán Nagy, the Deputy State Secretary for the Management of EU Funding Projects in Hungary, and he was talking about transformation of the public administration in the digital age. He was commenting on the budgeting of the European Union for e-government, and informed us that currently there is a new budgeting period and we shall influence all of our government administrative personnel that is interacting with the European Union to make clear that also budget for e-government development shall be in the EU budget for the next period over 5 years. Zoltán came to his conclusions. A, a future decision-making in public administration based upon data. Secondly, B, human factor remains very important, but new knowledge is needed. The technology will help to enhance the competitiveness in public administration. And lastly, C, technology will create a more transparent environment. And there he referred to the Estonian digital government. We then were wondering what Prague is doing in the area of e-government, and we got the insight from Šárka Fila-Tobanova, the head of Project Preparation and Implementation Unit of the City of Prague, and she gave us the structure how Prague is doing it. Prague, as a smart city, is one of the core focus areas. Secondly, Prague as a hub, exploring and nurturing disruptive technologies for city innovation. And thirdly, Prague as a lab, creating sandboxes for developing and testing new technologies in the city. She's also being supported by a very large fund and grant of the EU. And that was a good reference to what Zoltán said about the budgeting for the next period in the European Union. Diving a little bit into the examples of Prague as an innovation hub means, as a scientific model behind it, supporting innovation via connecting the key players in a triple helix model, meaning government, businesses, and academic working together. Very interesting, Prague is also a center of space activities, so there is a headquarter of the European GNSS agency or GSA, and they are working very strongly in incubating solutions for space, aviation, and then also for automotive. AI Superhub, that's one of the projects in Prague, which is an initiative of the Czech Academy of Sciences, of the Czech Technical Universities, Charles University, and the City of Prague. Mobilius, Innovation Hub East, promoting innovative projects in urban mobility. And then when it comes to be Prague as a lab, of course, very strongly autonomous driving, but then also in respect of the public transport, where complex test beds for mobility innovation are granted. And Prague seeing themselves also in the area of a lab of decentralized economy, meaning that experiments and examples based on Bitcoin are done, innovation vouchers are issued, and a close cooperation with key players, for example, under the name of Blockchain Republic, are done with a strong focus on supporting startups and SMEs with hackathons, incubators, and accelerators. So very strong examples from Prague that can help us in trying to adopt those ideas into our other European cities. We wanted to take a look at Sofia and had the honor and privilege to have a lecture by Vladimir Danilov, the CEO of the Sofia Municipal Privatization and Investment Agency. And one of his key elements was the information about a current program that is running across 40 EU cities with a community with over 100 local stakeholders, and Sofia is part of that, and it is the Digital Cities Challenge, where the possibility for understanding the maturity in digital terms of a city are laid as a foundation, create a point of contact for digital projects, and then have the possibility to innovate and participate in other city projects. Very strong point of the program is also increase awareness about the need for digitalization and working on submitting the strategy for review and vote by the Sofia Municipality Council. So an EU-funded, EU-supported program where 40 cities are working together, which is laying the grounds for the next steps in digitalization in the participating cities, in that case in Sofia. E-government means also a lot of diversity, having experts from the different fields. And Jarek Burka from Krakow was one of the best examples. He is a bio-cybernetician with a 20-year-long academic experience, now being the advisor to the mayor of Krakow for the digital transformation. And he showed us the details of his projects, especially the public information bulletin, or PIP, of the municipality of Krakow, and secondly also the electronic communication and services program, a public service project, ECO. Very strong input from him, because he said in the end all of these very technology-driven, system-driven projects that are done, it is to increase the good life and the health of the citizens of Krakow. So again here, a clear statement towards the beneficiaries of our technology advancements. And when you think that only startups can work agile and doing prototypes and being fast in the development and user-centric focused, then you have to talk to Robin Heilig, who is one of the PACE team. The PACE team is a central innovation unit within the city of Vienna that is clearly using all of the modern business tools to make faster, better solutions for the citizens. And the very concrete example was the Sachs Wien app, or directly translated Tell It to Vienna app, where you can, if you see something not working in the city, via smartphone send a report to the city. It's dealt with and you get a report back when it's done. And this application has already nearly 50,000 downloads and nearly generated 49,000 reports, so it's well adopted. But at the beginning, there was a public participation, an inclusive workshop where the city asked the interested citizens what kind of app they would need. And in the end, it was the request for this Tell It to the City app. And on that day, the deputy managing director of the city of Vienna told and promised to the participating citizens that this will be up and running in 6 months. And Robin, who was also actively working in this workshop, said, "Oh, what a poor guy that has to run this project in such a short time." After a few hours, he knew that he was the one by the MD assigned to run this project, and they made it. They only could make it because they used those modern innovative methods, and they were going into minimal viable products, and they were working together across the locations of the administration, across the diverse departments of the city administrations, and they made a wonderful user-friendly application. Robin then also joined the panel together with Jarek and Vladimir as the lecturers that we discussed earlier. And they discussed very strongly how we can do better e-government together And I think there was a very close handshake between those cities represented and encouraging voice for all of the other cities to work together to make it possible. We also had Peter Baricek on the panel, and he referred also to sharing codes and allowing sandboxing across the cities to make Europe cities even faster in the deployment of e-government to the benefits of the citizens. So those was the second day of the European Cities Conference. We had a big thanks to all of the participants flying in, driving in, taking the train across Europe to come together here. We are looking forward for the next conference. We give a big thanks to the Eurocom as an agency organizing the conference, to Michael Hager from the Strategic IT Department of the City of Vienna as the mastermind of the conference behind the scenes, to all of the participants, to all of the speakers. And if you think that the podcast is helping to transport a little bit of the big wisdom that we shared and of the collaborative spirit, then I ask you also to share it. Share the link to the website and to the PowerPoint presentations to your colleagues in your administrations, to interested citizens, so that we can spread the word of this European Cities Conference 2019. Thank you very much for taking the time, and I hope that we see each other next year. Goodbye.